Happy Easter. Great to see nearly a full house. Praise the Lord. Well, if you would, stand if you can. We're going to start out by singing Blessed Be Your Name.
Blessed be your name in a land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. And when the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glory. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, bless.
I worship you, O mighty God, there is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace, that is all I want to do. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. There is none like you. I worship you, O mighty God. There is none like you.
worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is all I want to do. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. I worship you, O mighty God. There is none like you. 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 Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flow, me of sin the double cure, save from wrath and make me pure. Could my tears forever flow, could my zeal no longer know, these for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. In my hand no price I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. While I draw this fleeting breath, when my eyes shall close in death, when I rise to worlds unknown, and behold thee on thy throne, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Behold the Lamb, behold the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world, for sinners crucified. O holy sacrifice, behold the Lamb of God, behold the Lamb. Amen. Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus, my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Vainly they watch his bed, Jesus, my Savior. Vainly they seal the dead, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose,
Hallelujah, Christ arose. Death cannot keep his prey. Jesus, my Savior, he tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Amen. Praise the Lord. Please welcome Pastor Steve to the pulpit.
Well, good morning. We do have one birthday to celebrate.
Amen.
So, Brooke, you know what's coming, don't you, sis? Yeah. Thursday, right? Yeah, man. Brooke's going to have a birthday on April the 8th. Did I get right? How many are you going to be? Eight on eight. Well, there you go, kid.
That's great.
Well, good to have you today. We're going to sing happy birthday to you now, okay? All right, let's sing it out.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Brooke. Happy birthday to you. And many more.
Man, I remember when I was eight. That was a long time ago. Hey, Fred, can you remember when you were eight? No. Fred, good to see you today, man. We got the memo on the blue shirt, didn't we? Yeah, amen, brother. You wearing pinstripes? No pinstripes. Okay, I got the pinstripes on today. I thought of you putting this on. I thought, man, Fred, be proud of me today wearing my pinstripes. All right, Children's Church, y'all ready? Children's Church it on. All right, now I am always running hot, so I'm warm now. I've got an undershirt on. I can take this long sleeve off. Y'all want to keep the heat on. Y'all feeling about right? Some of you get a little sleepy when it gets warm. Yeah, some of you fanning. So let's go ahead and knock that heat back and knock that heat back a little bit. Yeah, very good. Outstanding. Amen. Woo! Well, good to see each and every one of you again. And, man, I cannot wait. Hopefully here, you know, the president says everything will be back to normal around July 4th. Man, if everything gets back to normal by July 4th, I think instead of setting off fireworks, I get all these masks together in the parking lot. Put some accelerant on them, diesel, gas, whatever your cup of tea is, and then light them suckers, man. Light them up. All right? Well, good to have each and every one of you. If you have a copy of God's Word, those of you watching with us online, good to see you this morning. Those of you visiting with us, let's give our visitors a round of applause today. This is Resurrection Sunday, amen. So let's take our Bibles and turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 21. We're going through the Gospel of Matthew, preaching through it, and I'll invite you to stand with that, Matthew 21. We're not quite this far in our study, but we're jumping ahead so that we can preach on Resurrection Sunday, right? So, and I know you're going to look at this passage and say, where's the resurrection in that? I'm assuming if you're here, you believe in the resurrection, right? I'm assuming if you're here today, you believe in that. If you're watching us online, you believe in the resurrection. I'm not going to try to convince you of the resurrection today. What I'm instead going to do is talk about what it means. Amen? What it means. So, Matthew chapter 21, beginning in verse 1. If you found it this morning, would you say amen?
Amen.
All right, Matthew 21, beginning in verse 1, the Word of God reads this. It says, when they had approached Jerusalem and had come to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied there and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. Verse 6 says, the disciples went and did just as Jesus had instructed them, and brought the donkey and the colt and laid their coats on them, and he sat on the coats. Most of the crowd spread their coats in the road, and others were cutting branches from the trees and spreading them in the road. The crowds going ahead of him and those who followed him were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Verse 10. When he had entered Jerusalem, all the city was stirred, saying, who is this? And the crowds were saying, this is the prophet, Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy and inerrant word. We're thankful today, Lord, for visitors with us. And Lord, we pray that, Lord, through the preaching of the word, that each and every heart would be touched today, would be encouraged, Lord, held accountable, directed, Lord, helped. Lord, just what we've come here for, Lord, I pray that we would receive. Lord, I hope many have come here to be touched by you, to worship you, Lord, and to praise you, sing songs of the faith to you, Lord, and to literally just be touched by you. And Father God, I pray that happens for many today. For those watching online, Lord, I pray there's a special blessing for them as they fellowship with us through that internet connection today. And Lord, we just pray that it would really soak in this afternoon. It would really begin to soak in this morning what this all means when we talk about the resurrection. We're thankful for it, Lord. We praise you. We know that one day we have a glorified body coming because of your glorified body. We love you, Lord. We pray for those that need to receive you as their personal Lord and Savior. May this be the hour, or may this be another seed sown in their heart, or Lord, may this be the time where they just can't stand it any longer and they have to receive you. We just pray that you continue to save folks, and Lord, lead them in. We're thankful, Lord, for all you do, for all the many blessings you give us. Thank you for family today, extended family, Lord, all those that are going to get together. I pray we stay safe. And Lord, do all our social stuff. And Lord, we pray that this not add to any kind of a surge or a bump or anything like that with the pandemic out there. Thank you, God, that we can see the end of the tunnel to all that's been going on these last many months. It's in your name we pray, and God's people say it. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the holy inerrant word of God. May he add his tremendous blessing to it. Now, instead of proclaiming that the resurrection did happen, not going to do that. This morning, we're going to exhort the reason why Easter happened. The reason why it happened. What does Easter mean to you? What does Easter mean to me? What does Easter mean to us? What difference does the resurrection make? What are the results, if you will, of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the grave? As we were going through the music there, I was hoping and praying we would sing Up From the Grave He Arose. Amen. That happened to be the last song Brother Jeremiah had today. Thank you, Brother Jeremiah. That's one of my favorite Easter songs of all time to sing. I love it. Up from the grave. Amen. Up from the grave. Well, why? What does it mean? Well, when we look at our passage this morning in Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 21, the triumphal entry is what we're talking about. The triumphal entry is foreshadowing some important themes that relate to the resurrection. We're going to see that as we go through it. If you're taking notes, three main points today. I'll try to help you out and keep you on the same page with me. But point number one is the redemption of all history. The redemption of all history, right? Don't miss that. The buyback of all history. Look at verse 7 with me. And they brought the donkey and the colt and laid their coats on them, and he sat on the coats, right? Jesus riding into Jerusalem, right? How does he ride in? He rides in on a little young donkey. And the very fact that he does that is a deeply, incredibly huge, ironic statement. What do you mean by that? How so? What do you mean? Well, Jesus' disciples, they were looking for, what were they looking for? They were looking for a grand entrance fit for the king. They were looking for pomp and circumstance. They were looking for all of the great fanfare. At the same time, Jesus kept trying to prepare his disciples for his impending suffering, his impending death, right? Now, nowhere in the Bible does it tell us to celebrate his birth. Nowhere in the Bible does it tell us to celebrate the resurrection, but it does tell us to do what? Remember his death, right? And so Jesus is trying to get his disciples to lock into the fact that he is going to suffer and die. Now, for the weeks prior to this passage, Jesus had been doing, well, he had been upsetting his disciples. Over and over again, he's upsetting them. The disciples would say, "You're the Messiah. You are the promised King of Israel. You're going to usher in a new kingdom. We know what the Old Testament says. We know it's you. We know you. This is about to break. This is going to happen." And in the same breath, Jesus would turn around and say back to them, "I'm going to suffer." Jesus would respond back to them, "I'm going to be mocked." He would say again to them, "I'm going to be tortured. I'm going to be killed." I hope you can get the disconnect, right? There's a huge disconnect going on right here. The disciples were struggling with the whole concept of how Jesus was going to bring the kingdom and at the same time suffer and die and be weak. Now, you can imagine the initial excitement, the initial flutter of the two disciples' hearts as they hear about Jesus talking about how he's going to ride into Jerusalem. And then when they're thinking about, man, he's going to want us to go get the biggest steed, the biggest horse, the widest of them all, the greatest. I mean, we're going to have money. We're going to find the best of the best, only to have their excitement dashed when what? When he tells them about the donkey and her colt. How anticlimactic, right? Yeah, Jesus was proclaiming that he's going to bring in the kingdom, but the vehicle for his kingdom, the vehicle for his victory, is going to be his suffering. It's going to be his weakness. It's going to be his death. See, the little donkey represents Jesus' weakness and his suffering. Jesus' weakness and his suffering. See, the resurrection, when we think about it in context here, the resurrection means several things to us in regards to our past. Several things. I think about just this past week, man, it's been a rough, rocky week, man. Sometimes weeks go like that. Sometimes you have a really good week. Sometimes you look back at the week and you're like, "Woo, man, I'm glad that one's over, man." It's been that kind of week for me. Regarding our past, the resurrection. The resurrection does not just get you away from weakness. Just doesn't get you away from suffering. I think that's what most Americans want out of religion. They want less weakness, less suffering, more money, more strength. I bet some are even thinking about, man, that Joe Biden's pretty good, man. He's put some cashola in my pocket, right? They're probably thinking pretty good right now about old Joe, Uncle Joe, Grandpa Joe, President Joe. Let's give him his due respect. But the resurrection encompasses your weakness, it encompasses your suffering, and it takes your weakness and your suffering up into the great thing that God is making you. That's why the weakness and the suffering is so important. See, the resurrection does not deal with evil and suffering like a time machine. Now, I'll just date myself here. Some of you kids can get on your smartphones and look it up later. But there was a movie franchise by the name of Back to the Future. Anybody remember that? Marty McFly, man. Back to the Future, right? The DeLorean. Remember the DeLorean? Wow, yeah. How fast did you have to go in the DeLorean? 88 miles an hour, man. You went 88 miles an hour. To boom, they pushed the flux capacitor button, man. And the thing's gone, right? Amen. Cool stuff, yeah. Back to the Future. I know you watched that today and you're thinking, man, that's special effects. But back then, that was special effects, right? Back to the Future movie franchise. How do you deal with evil and suffering in Back to the Future movie franchise? Well, you just go back in the time machine. You go back in the time machine and you change things. You change things so that when you get back to the present, the evil and the suffering has what? It's never happened. It's never happened. But the resurrection does not make the death of Jesus as though it never happened. But rather, because of his suffering, because of his weaknesses, because of his temptations, because of the excruciating pain, he is infinitely more and greater to us than he would have been otherwise. Amen? You feeling it today? I hope you're feeling it today. See, when Jesus shows up after his resurrection to his disciples in his glorified resurrection body, guess what, church? His wounds are still there. They call them scars. His wounds are still there. And would you agree with me that his suffering, his wounds in his wounds flesh out for us who he is and what he did for us and how we worship him? When you worship Jesus, do you think about his nail-scarred hands? When you worship Jesus, do you think about the crown that was thrust down upon his brow? When you think of Jesus, do you think of the spit that was spat in his face? The beard that was plucked from him? My soul, he went through a lot. He went through a lot for who? For you. He went through a lot for who? For me. He went through a lot for us. Well, think about it this way. Your own personal wounds today, your wounds will be taken up, just like they were for Christ, your wounds will be taken up into the greatness of what God is making you. Think this through with me. Things that you have done wrong. Maybe I'm the only one today that's done. But if you've done some things wrong, you're in the same boat with me. Things that you've done wrong. Sins. Regrettable things, heinous things, things that have been done to you. Oh, well, now we can start to fill out the list, things that have been done to us. We can start going down the list, the things that have been done to us. Bad things, ugly things, heinous things. You know what Jesus is doing in your life? Especially when you come and you think about each and every resurrection. Jesus is turning the hurt into wisdom, isn't he? That's what he does with the hurt. When we sin and we repent and we confess, you know what he does? He turns that sin into humility in our hearts, right? Right? That's what he does. Amen? He's spinning these things into gold. He's weaving these things into something greater. That's what he's doing. Jesus' resurrection does not mean, now there may be some churches preaching it today like this, but Jesus' resurrection does not mean that we will not suffer. Oh, friend, you're going to suffer. His resurrection means when we suffer thinking of him, when we suffer looking to him, when we suffer relying on him, then we can rejoice even in the midst of the suffering. Even in the midst of the suffering, because we see how he's what? How he's overcome. And we know that what? We will overcome as well. Amen? Amen. His resurrection means that we're going to become like him, church. We're going to become something infinitely greater than had we not suffered. Now, in the great hymn, Christ the Lord is risen today, I love how it goes. We didn't sing that. What did we sing that? We didn't sing that one, did we? I don't remember singing that one. Christ the Lord is risen today. The hymn says, soar we now where Christ has led, following our exalted head, made like him we rise, ours the cross, the grave, the skies. Amen? We see, first of all, in this great triumphal entry, the redemption of all history. But secondly, we see the renewal of all nature. Look at chapter 21 with me, verses 4 and 5. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to the daughter of Zion, verse 5, 21, behold, your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. Now, we look at Mark's account, we look at Luke's gospel account of this. The colt, when we look at these two other gospel writers, the colt, the foal of a donkey, that is solely the focus of what Jesus rides in on, with no mention of the mama donkey. What do you call a mama donkey? You call a mama donkey? I don't know. I'm not a... Huh? You don't know? Anybody? You look it up and tell me after the service. What do you call a mama donkey? Anybody? You don't know. All right. Mama donkey, okay? No mention of mama donkey in Mark and Luke's gospel. Here in Matthew's gospel, we have the mama donkey and the colt, right? The clarity of the other two gospel writers affirm the truth of verse 5 in our current passage that Jesus did indeed get on what? He got on the colt. He got on the little donkey, not the mama donkey, right? Jesus deliberately picks, they bring him two. They bring in the mama, they bring in the colt. Jesus deliberately picks a little donkey that has never been ridden. Verse 2, let's say that, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied there and a colt with her, untie them and bring them to me. What normally has to happen? Think it through with me. What normally has to happen for a horse or a donkey before it can be ridden? What do they have to do to that animal? They got to break that animal. It's got to be broken. Nature's already broken, isn't it? Yeah. Nature is already broken. But one day, even nature itself will be healed when the resurrected king comes back. I turn your attention to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 6 and 9. The Word of God reads this. And the wolf will dwell with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little boy will lead them. Also the cow and the bear will graze. Their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The nursing child will play by the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child will put his hand on the viper's den. They will not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Jesus Christ, by getting on this little bitty donkey that's never been broke, Jesus Christ, by getting on this little bitty colt, this foal of a donkey, Jesus Christ is showing himself to be the Lord of nature as he sits upon this unbroken colt of a donkey. The little donkey does what? As the master, the king of the universe, sits down on it, the little donkey immediately knows its master. Does he try to buck? Does he try to run off? Mm-mm. No, he bears his burden. He bears his master into and for his triumphal entry. The gap between man and beast is instantly bridged. Context again, let's connect it back to the resurrection. The resurrection is the deepest affirmation, that any religion makes to the physical world. Any religion makes to the human body. Any religion makes to material reality. Let me tell you something today. God cares about the body. He cares about your body. God loves the body. He loves your body. The Son of God has a body, right? And one day you're going to have one just like his. He dies not just to save our souls, but Jesus dies on the cross and is buried in the ground, resurrects the third day, not just to save our souls, but to resurrect and renew our bodies. See, God loves creation. Would you agree with that? Yeah, he spoke it into existence. God loves matter. Would you agree with that? Yeah. God hates death. You agree there? Amen. God hates sin and what that has done to nature. Now, if you have ever traveled in the eastern part of the United States, maybe you've hooked up your fifth wheel or you've taken a long trip around the country. In the eastern part of the United States, there's a particular petal structure of the flowering dogwood tree. Now, you'll discover if you see the white flower variety of this tree that the petals form the shape of a cross. And if you look at the very center of the petal, you will also note that its petals are marked with a... Are you ready? They're marked with... Are you ready for it? They're marked with a nail scar outlined in a pinkish, purplish color. I tell you that to ask you the question, do you get the point? Do you get the point? Creation knows. Nature knows. The trees, like the dogwood, are trying to tell us something. And the question is, are you listening? They are just wanting what? They are just telling us that they're getting warmed up and that one day, they're going to shout to the Lord. The dogwood tree and everything else on this planet is going to shout to the Lord. You believe that? In Luke's account, as Jesus' disciples were getting their shout on, as his disciples were getting their shout on in Luke 19, verses 39 through 40, some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." But Jesus answered, "I tell you, if these become silent, the stones will cry out." The stones will cry out. Because of Jesus' resurrection, one day, nature is going to be the way nature was intended to be, and that is a sinless paradise. Sinless. Well, we see the redemption of all history. We see the renewal of all nature. And finally this morning, we see the removal of all temples. The removal of all temples. Now, Jesus' death and resurrection is supremely... Don't forget this. It's supremely about the temple, Jesus' death and resurrection. At Jesus' trial, the charge that stuck and sent him to the cross centered around the temple. I'll remind you what Matthew 26, verses 59 through 61 reads. The Word of God reads in Matthew 26, 59 through 61. It says, "Now the chief priests and the whole council kept trying to obtain false testimony against Jesus so that they might put him to death. They did not find any, even though many false witnesses came forward. But later on, two came forward and said, 'This man stated, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to rebuild it in 3 days.'" Wow. Now, this is what Jesus had said earlier after his first cleansing of the temple. Let's take our Bibles and look at John's Gospel. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. We're at the very front of the Gospels. We're going to the last book of the Gospels. We're going to John 2. John 2, hopefully you still have your Bibles open. Verse 18 through 22. John chapter 2, verses 18 through 22. Have you found it? John 2, 18 through 22. The Word of God reads this, John 2, verse 18. "The Jews then said to him, 'What sign do you show us as your authority for doing these things?'" He had just cleansed the temple for the first time. "Jesus answered them, 'Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up.' The Jews then said, 'It took 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking of the temple of his body. So when he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he said this, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had spoken." So I ask you the rhetorical question. What was Jesus talking about? Jesus was talking about his body. Amen? He's talking about his body. Jesus referring to his body as the temple was a what? It was a radical statement of the day. Why, Pastor? Because every culture, every society at that time had temples. And they believed, every culture and society believed two presuppositions. First, you know what I didn't have? I didn't have my second coffee. That's the problemo. First, somebody say it for me, presupposition. First presupposition that every culture and society believes, a temple means there is a God behind what? Behind everything you see. Behind everything you see. And that we, because we have a temple, we need to be in touch with said God. Presupposition number two. Because there's a temple, you cannot just talk to God. Oh, no, friend. There's a gap. There's a chasm between us and this God that needs to be bridged. Every temple back here in the first century, every temple back in biblical times, every temple was similar, even though every religion was different. All the temples had priests. All the temples had offerings. All the temples had sacrifices. Priests, offerings, and sacrifices. Universal across the board. Everyone, no matter what they believed, everyone had agreed you cannot just talk and say, "Hey, divine transcendent God, how are you today?" Because there's something, everybody has agreed on the point. There is something separating us, something that separates us. The temple meant that we know there's something out there, and there is something keeping us away, and there needs to be someone or something to bridge the gap. Jesus Christ, in these passages we've looked at this morning, these passages that we've read, Jesus Christ was saying, tear down this temple. He was saying, tear it down. You don't need it anymore because after 3 days, I will give you a new temple, and that temple is my resurrected body. Jesus was basically saying, I am the God that you're trying to reach, friend. I am Him. I am He. I am the temple. I am the bridge across the gap. I'm the bridge across the chasm. It's me. It's me. You know what every other religion says? Every other religion out there says, you provide the bridge. You provide the priest. You provide the sacrifice. You provide the striving. You provide the good works. You provide the religious system. And just maybe, just maybe you'll get a cross. Maybe you'll get a cross. But Jesus says, I have good news. The gospel is that the real God is providing the sacrifice. The real God is providing the priest. The real God is doing the work. Amen? Tear down my body and you will see my death is the ultimate sacrifice. Tear it down. Hang me on a cross. Pierce my side. Spit on me, curse me, mock me, kill me. When I raise up my body, you will see I am the ultimate priest that opens the door into the presence of Almighty God. Jesus is saying through me, you can come right into the presence of the infinite, of the transcendent, of the great I am. Now, the resurrection means intimacy with what we feel that has been estranged to us because of our sin. The resurrection means intimacy with what we feel cut off from because of our sin. Now, you may be here today feeling pretty good about yourself, right? Because you have no problem talking to God. I meet these people all the time. They don't need the church. They don't need the Bible. They don't need Sunday school. They don't need Bible study. Man, they don't need baptism. They don't need the Lord's Supper. Just give you God. You're extra spiritual in your own eyes. I just need my bud and my God. And it's all good. About 3 beers in, I'm talking pretty good to my God. I don't need all that extra stuff you guys talk about. I don't need it. Well, friend, let me ask you the question. Kind of rattle you a little bit this morning. Where do you think the idea of just talking to God came from? It came from Christianity. Hello. Take a little nip off that coffee. Get you a cup of courage, right? Put down the bud. Because of what Jesus has done, you can go right in. You don't have to come talk to me. You don't have to find a priest. You don't have to go do confession in a closet somewhere. I'm not trying to pick on the Catholics today, but you don't have to do any of that. You can go right in. But for those of you that just like to talk to God, do you know why you're chatting with God after about three beers in has not changed you? Do you know why it hasn't filled you with this incredible love that you can't stop thinking about? I'll tell you why. You may not want to know it, but I'm going to tell you anyway. You have smuggled out, you have hijacked from Christianity the idea of not needing a temple. But you have not accepted the gospel story of the temple replacement. As a result, you're not moved. As a result, you're not amazed by who He is and what He's done for you. And as a result, your life is not turned inside out. George Whitefield, a great Anglican pastor and evangelist of the 1700s, he penned a diary entry that read like this. Last night I was praying, and I felt the love of God poured out into my soul with such immediacy that I could not get to sleep. I had to ask Him to shield me so that I could get some rest. When was the last time that has happened to you? That thinking of God has got you so wound up. Thinking of God has got you so shook down in your core. Thinking of God, I'm not talking about anxiety. I'm talking about just being moved in your spirit because of Almighty God. How long has it been? When was the last time that happened to you? Have you ever asked yourself the question, why doesn't that happen to me? Why doesn't that? Well, friend, it's not Jesus' fault. It's not Jesus' fault. He opened the way. He's opened the door. He is the door. He is the resurrection and the life. The resurrection means that can happen to you. That you can be overwhelmed by the love of God. That resurrection in life means that your life can be turned inside out. That resurrection means that you will be, if you're saved, drawn to a church. That you will be there, right? That you will be in the midst of it. That's what the resurrection in the life means. And if you're not, you're going to be one miserable Christian. You're going to be one miserable, sad Christian. Amen? Happy Easter. Or better yet, happy Resurrection Sunday. Or better yet, you know what next Sunday is going to be? Happy Resurrection Sunday. And you know what the Sunday 2 weeks from now is going to be? Happy Resurrection Sunday. If the Lord tarries 6 months from now, President Joe says it's all good and great, you know what it's going to be? Happy Resurrection Sunday. Amen. When we start having to pay back all this stimulus money, you know what it's going to be? Still going to be Happy Resurrection Sunday. Amen. 2 years from now, when they're talking about how the Senate and the House is going to flip, and boy, everybody's don't have their mask on anymore, and everybody's toe-to-toe shouting at each other and being all this political posturing and everything, you know what it's going to be Sunday? Yeah, Resurrection Sunday. It ain't ever going to change. Resurrection Sunday, right? So, get in on it, amen? Grab hold of it, amen? Hold on to it. Praise God. Amen. I'm going to ask Brother Ronnie Vaculik to close us out with a word of prayer. You folks will be dismissed. Those of you that drop kids off or let kids go to Children's Church, don't forget, we still got them. You may want them, amen? All right, Brother Ronnie.